Anantapare, unlimitedly expanded, tamasi, in the material existence of darkness, magnaha, being merged, nasta smritihi, bereft of all intelligence, samaha, for many years, sasvatihi, practically eternally, anubhuyaha, experiencing, arthim, the threefold miseries, pramada, of woman, sangha, by association, dusitaha, being contaminated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all the remembrances for many, many years. Please repeat. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrances for many, many years. Purport. This is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. Nasta smritihi. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. To save the human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi karma phale padi bhavarnava jale tari bhare na dekhi upaya e visaya hala hale divanisi hiya jvale mana kabha sukha nahi paya. Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen into the ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety, but because they are not guided by the real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drink and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase the duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way. The word pramada sanga dushita indicates that apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. Consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained from the beginning to give up attachment for woman. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grihastha, the third stage vanaprastha, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women. Om Agnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tashmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uthapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, we have been studying this pastime for quite a while now, and it gives a very nice allegory, or this whole pastime gives a nice description of one's life, especially these days in Kali Yuga. Even though this pastime happened a long time ago, but still it is still relevant today. And we see how Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not a scripture which was 5,000 years old and has to be like a Vedic ancient kind of a scripture which we read as stories or something. This is still relevant in every age, right from the beginning of the age till today. And it will be relevant for the eternity. So that is why this scripture is very important. So we'll quickly go through the pastime, what has happened until now, in last few chapters, right from 23rd chapter. So in 23rd chapter, after narrating Prithu Maharaj's return from the return to the spiritual world, in 24th chapter the pastime begins. where Maitreya Muni outlines Prithu Maharaj's descendants. So in that Prithu Maharaj's descendant who had several sons, but the prominent one was Vijitsava, and his son was Havardhana, and whose son was Barhishad or Prachinabari or Prachinabarishad. So multiple names are mentioned for Prachinabari, but we will just call him Prachinabari. So multiple sons, so he is in the lineage of Dhruva Maharaj actually. So Maitreya Muni then tells to Vidura how Lord Shiva instructed the Prachetas, and who were Prachinabari's sons, and when they set out to perform austerity on their father's order. But Vidura wanted to hear the songs, the glorification of Lord Shiva, how Lord Shiva is sung, which is mentioned in Bhagavatam as Rudra Gita. So there is a whole chapter of songs sung by Lord Shiva. And then, which is 24th chapter, is like the song sung by Lord Shiva. At the end of that chapter, Maitreya Muni explains the glories of hearing that glorification of the Lord sung by Lord Shiva. But then in 25th chapter, the direction changes. So Maitreya Muni and Vidura are speaking, and then in 25th chapter, he mentions the first two verses. He mentions how the Prachetas' son did austerities within water to carry out the order of their father. And then in the third verse, Narad Muni turns the conversation to King Prachinabari. And Maitreya Muni again is explaining the conversation which happens between Narad Muni and Prachinabari. And then he will come back to Prachetas in the last two chapters of this canto, which is 30 and 31. So in between he just took a diversion. Maitreya Muni is explaining the conversation which happened. So he mentions how Narad Muni was compassionate to Prachinabari, and who Prachinabari was a very pious king actually. But he was using all his piety, he was doing all this sacrifice, but he missed the purpose of what was behind all this austerity sacrifice. So he was thinking it is to increase his piety and for future pleasure. Most of the people we see, they do some pious activities to go to heavenly kingdom or to enjoy. So their whole purpose is enjoyment, which is still material. Because even after you enjoy for millions of life or millions of years, but still then when your piety is over, you have to come back again to the material world. So since Prachinabari was in the lineage of Dhruva Maharaj, who was again the disciple of Narad Muni, so Narad Muni felt compassion. This is one of the qualities of devotee. Devotees are always compassionate towards the fallen conditioned soul. So Narad Muni was compassionate towards King Prachinabari and visited him and told him how Prachinabari, even though he was going through all this piety and sacrifice, and in the name of sacrifices, he was killing so many animals as well. So he showed him how these animals are waiting for him just for his death, and they will pierce him at the time of death with iron horns. At that time, Prachinabari was enlightened, and he fell at the feet of Narad Muni and asked him to give him directions. This is exactly what he tells him, tells Narad Muni. Kindly instruct me in pure knowledge so that I can get out of this entanglement of fruitive activities. It is very similar to what Arjuna told Krishna. Karpana dosha paata svabhava prachamitam dharma samudu cheta. Yes, you know the second part? Anyone knows? Prachamitam dharma samudu cheta. Yashrayasyan nishitan bruhitan me shishyaste ham sadhimam tam prapannam. Like, because of a myself weakness, I'm not able to know what is good for me. So I'm surrendering unto you. Please instruct me, kindly instruct me, Krishna. So similarly, Maharaj Prachinabarishad is falling at the feet of Narad Muni and surrendering unto him. So this is another quality of a devotee. Devotee realizes that he's doing something wrong. And we see the similar, the contradictory in the non-devotees. Even though they are going through so many ups and downs, even though they are going through so many miseries, But they will not realize that they are doing something wrong. The classic example is Ravana. So Ravana had kidnapped Mother Sita. And even though everyone was, even his wife Mandodari, even his son Indrajit, his brothers, to that effect, even Kumkarna, who was a demonic personality, but even he told at one stage, you've lost so many of your people, why don't you give up? Give up Mother Sita. But he was such a fool. In fact, he was a very intelligent person. He was well-versed in all the sastras. He was born as a Brahmana. But because of his demonic tendency, he couldn't listen to anyone. So we see the contradictory thing here. Maharaj Prachinabhari took the instruction of Narada Muni very seriously. He understood that Narada Muni is a renowned sage and he's talking for my benefit. So immediately fell at the feet of Narada Muni and begged shelter and asked him for instruction. So Narada Muni was also intelligent. So he did not directly tell what bad qualities you have, because he understood Maharaj Prachinabhari was a king, very powerful king. And no king, one of the things in a Kshatriya is pride, false ego. So as soon as somebody tells a person who is wealthy, beautiful, proud, that you are wrong, what you are doing is a demoniac, he will feel offended. So Narada Muni decided to tell an allegorical story. So he tells the story of Puranjana. Now Puranjana means a soul who is very old, Purana, who is very old. So this is the story of not only Puranjana, but this is not only relevant to Maharaj Prachinabhari, but it is relevant to each and every one of us. And this is the soul of this is a story of a soul who is stuck into this material world, who is going through the different bodies in this material world. 8.4 million species are there, and the soul goes through. So he narrates the story of Puranjana. And he says, this Puranjana had a friend whose name was Avignata. And he was a very close friend of Puranjana. So this Avignata was always going with Puranjana, wherever Puranjana went. And this Puranjana was going through different cities. He was ruling the whole planet, right? So he was going through different cities, but he was not able to stay because he was not able to find any place suitable for his living. So he was going through different cities, countries, and this Avignata was accompanying him wherever he went. So Puranjana is a soul and Avignata is super soul, Paramatma. So we see the soul in this material body goes through different species, and Avignata or Paramatma or super soul, who is so merciful, comes along with the soul in all the bodies. So this allegorical story narrates like how Puranjana goes through different cities is the different bodies he goes through. And then Puranjana reached a city which had 9 gates. So what is that 9 gates city called? Or what it represents? The body. So it is mentioned when he reached the city of 9 gates, it was beautiful. The description is mentioned. We won't go into the description of the body. But it is said that he came to the city which was a human body. With 9 gates, right? So we go through the soul and goes through different species. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam, Karmana Deiva Netrena Jantur Deho Pataya. By the results of his karma, actions, he gets reactions, and by the ordination of the material nature, Karmana Deivi Netrena Jantur Deho Pataya, the soul goes through different bodies. So similarly, Puranjana goes through different bodies and comes to, and finally after so much of struggle, he comes to this body of human body, and which is a chance to go back to God. No other body gives him satisfaction, but this body, he found it was very beautiful. It was decorated. The city was beautiful. And now in this body, when he enters the city of 9 gates, he meets a beautiful woman there. So that woman is compared to the material intelligence. And our Acharya Sridhar Swami mentions Yadharsha. It's mentioned in that pas- in that section. Sridhar Swami mentioned that there was no cause of this woman to come, or there was no arrangement made. In India, we have got arranged marriage, where the boys' parents and women's parents, they meet first and they look at the charts and then they decide whom one should meet, and like the compatibility is decided, and then the boy and girl meets. But here it is Yadarsha. Yadarsha means it was causeless. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that this was intelligence covered by ignorance. So similarly, when we come to this material world, we meet with our original intelligence becomes covered. So again, as this is a story of a soul, we understand that this beautiful woman met Prachinna Bari, and she was shy and she was very beautiful, and she had 11 servants, and those servants are the 10 senses and the mind. And on her, behind her was a five-headed serpent, and that serpent is the life air of a person. And then there were hundreds of women following the this beautiful girl. And those hundreds of women are, sorry, you said something? No. Okay, so those hundreds of women are the unlimited desires that follows. And then Prachinna Bari asked this woman, "Who are you? Where are you coming from? Why are you roaming around here? Are you waiting for someone?" And this woman said, "I do not know my origin, nor do I know about my own self." So this is similar to our intelligence. Most of the people in this material world who claim to be intelligent, especially if they don't have any spiritual knowledge or spiritual intelligence, they only have material intelligence. If they ask them, "Who are you? Where are you coming from?" they will say, "I'm coming from so and so place, and I'm so and so person from so and so country." So they will all give all the designations of this material world. But what happens if, suppose you are 40 years old, where were you 40 years before? And where are you going to be 50, 60 years from now? So this, the material people like with material intelligence won't be able to answer. Those who have no knowledge of spiritual spirituality, then they will say, "I don't know where I'm coming from and I don't know where I'll go." So if you meet someone on the road who is going somewhere, and he asks you for a direction, and you ask him, "Where do you want to go?" And if he says, "No, I don't know where I want to go." And you ask him, "Where have you come from?" And he will say, "No, I don't know where I'm coming from." Then how will you direct that person? Right? It's impossible to direct a person who does not know his origin and destination. So similarly, here it is mentioned, this intelligence, which is woman, a beautiful woman, did not know her origin. And Prachinna Bari proposed her to marry him. So this is the soul who accepts the material intelligence when he comes to this material world. And when he is in this body of human body, which has, actually there is a very interesting point about this human body. Human body allows one to have an intelligence by which he can buy all the comforts to make his life comfortable. He can have access to all those comforts. And he thinks that he is enjoying in this material body by this. So there's a nice book by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj called Maya. In that book, Maharaj is mentioning about how Maya Devi has got two potencies, Avanatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti. And then again, there are two functions of the Avanatmika Shakti. So Avanatmika Shakti is the covering potency of the potency of Maya, and Prakshepatmika Shakti is the pulling potency, pulling down potency of Maya. The two roles that Avanatmika Shakti plays is, the first is to cover. So what does it cover? It covers the identity of the spiritual soul. So Avanatmika Shakti makes one believe that soul is from material world, he is not from somewhere else. this life is the life in all. He covers his real identity. So the second role that Avanatmika Shakti covers is that in whatever life or body or stage that person is, he thinks that he is enjoying in this material world. So these are the two things Avanatmika Shakti, Maya Devi covers through her Avanatmika potency, the covering potency. So first thing, he thinks, this is who I am, this body I am. And the second one is, thinks that I am the most happiest person, I am enjoying in this material world. Or I can make this world a place where I can enjoy. So this is exactly same stage Puranjana was going through. Looking at that woman, he was thinking, I will enjoy this woman, I will marry this woman and enjoy this woman by my intelligence. So now intelligence, when comes in contact with the soul, he thinks I can enjoy. And then he marries the material intelligence, or that beautiful lady agrees to marry Puranjana, and they both marry, and then they are enjoying their life. And it is mentioned, Puranjana had many associates, but those associates were blind. And because of their being blind, they used to drag him here and there. So Puranjana used to go along with them. And it is mentioned, these associates are none other than our legs and arms. Arms and legs. So the soul, when he gets this body, he tries to enjoy with his hands. He uses his hands and legs, which are blind, which don't have any intelligence, which are controlled by the mind. So this, and King Puranjana had a chief servant whose name was Visuchina. Visuchina. And Visuchina means, represents the mind. So the mind has got three functions. So mind can be in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. When mind is in the mode of ignorance, it will bewilder one. It will make one illusioned. When mind is in the mode of, I said ignorance? Yeah. In the ignorance, he will bewilder one and put him into illusion. When mind is in the mode of passion, he will make him work hard and he will give him satisfaction. Oh, I have achieved something. So that sense of achievement comes from passion and makes one work hard. And when mind is in the mode of goodness, acts in mode of goodness, he will give him enjoyment or pleasure. So these are the three functions of the mind. And this was chief servant of King Puranjana, Visuchina, who was giving him different suggestions and was helping him to find happiness. So Maharaj Puranjana then started going here and there, and he was a very henpecked husband. Henpecked husband means he was following his wife everywhere. So we know from Bhagavad Gita, the soul is supreme, and below the soul is intelligence, and below the intelligence is mind, and below the mind is the senses. What happens when it becomes the other way around? When senses control the mind, which controls the intelligence, and which is controlling the soul. The person is bound, person becomes bound to this material world. And this is exactly what happens to King Puranjana, who is representing soul, and his wife was material intelligence. So Puranjana was running after his wife, became a henpecked husband. So he was running behind his wife. So the soul was controlled by intelligence, and the intelligent was associated with so many women who were material desires. Unlimited material desires. So when the intelligence is material and has got multiple unlimited desires, the soul becomes bound by, conditioned by that material intelligence. So it is in that part it is mentioned that Puranjana became a monkey in the hands of a madari, or the person who plays with the monkey. So he became like a monkey, became like a pet monkey. So then in the next chapter 26, King Puranjana goes to the forest to hunt, and his queen become angry. In that pastime, King Puranjana once went out, and this is, it is interesting in this whole chapter, it is mentioned how King Purunjana left for forest with his associates without taking permission from his queen, and he had gone hunting into the forest. And the whole pastime is how soul suffers in the material world if he is not taking guidance from his intelligence, is not using his intelligence. But Prabhupada's purport is mentioning if one renounces material intelligence, then he becomes happy in this material world. So Prabhupada is giving a contrast in his purports. In the whole chapter, the purports are very nice, where Prabhupada is mentioning King Purunjana, for once he left his material intelligence and went to the forest hunting. But again, hunting, and also Prabhupada mentions, one should not go on to do some material, because hunting is not a spiritual activity, it is a material activity. So his wife becomes angry, and then the whole chapter explains how King Purunjana, when he comes back to the palace, he is looking for his wife. First eats himself, dresses himself, and then looking for a wife, and then he comes to know that his wife was angry with him. And the next chapter is 27, which is mentioned attack by Chandavega and on the city of Purunjana. In that chapter, he pacifies his wife and he begots 1100 sons and 110 daughters from his wife. So, and it is mentioned he had sons, he had grandsons, and who were like the greed and desires, unlimited desires. And when one's desires become deep-rooted, it is very difficult to pluck them out. It is easy to pluck out the weeds which are just grown. But if you keep on watering the weeds, at one stage the weed becomes so deep-rooted that you cannot pluck them out from your hand, using your hands. So this is exactly what happens when King Purunjana was enjoying for, it is mentioned, hundreds of years, thousands of years he was enjoying with his wife, and begot 1100 sons and 110 daughters. And they were the weeds which were deep-rooted, and they plundered all his wealth. So when one has unlimited desires, he will spend all his life working for it, and his hard-earned money will be plundered by those desires. And Prabhupada makes this point that these sons and grandsons were the pious and impious activities, actions and reactions of a soul. So at that time, now the long time has passed where King Purunjana is enjoying with his wife. And at one stage, there was a king, Gandharva king, called Chandavega. So now in this allegory, Chandavega is time. Vega means time flies. So Chandavega is attacking this city of nine gates along with 720 soldiers, 360 male and 360 female, which represent the day and night. So they attack this city of Purunjana. So the allegory, as it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse. Ayur harati vaipumsan udyanastam chayanasau tashyate yatshano nita uttama sloka vartaya. Just by rising and setting of the sun every day, the soul is going closer to death. And one who does not know the real purpose of life is going to be destroyed, like he is destroying himself. But only a person who is uttama sloka vartaya, a devotee, is not scared by this. Because devotee understands that after this life, after the passing of this body, which is the result of his prarabdha karma, after passing of his body, he will come to the stage which is much, much blissful. Because this, he understands the body is full of misery. This life is full of misery. And after this life, there is something which is better for him. But for a non-devotee, ayur harati vaipumsan. The lifespan is reducing day by day, and he is becoming more and more weak. The life force. Who was the life force, anyone remembers? The serpent, the five-headed serpent, is becoming weaker and weaker day by day. So, this Chandavega was, Chandavega had a daughter called Jara, Kalakanya. And this Jara means old age. So because she was very old and not so good looking, ugly, nobody wants to marry a old person, right? So she was going around different places wanting to marry, but no one was ready to marry her. So then she comes to the king Yavanaraj, who is representing fear, and offers him to marry her. But Yavanaraj said, because you are so ugly, nobody will marry you, but I accept you as my sister. And I order you and my brother to go. His brother's name was Prajavarya. So Prajavara is the fear which comes at the time of death. Once bodily temperature rises at the time of death. So he said, you both go and take revenge. Because nobody likes you, so you go and attack the city of Puranjana, the city of nine gates. And this is what happens when one enjoys his whole life. At the time of death, when old age attacks, one becomes diseased, one becomes unable to do anything. He is frustrated. So when this whole army of Yavanaraj attacked the city of Puranjana, he saw that all his sons and his daughters and all his associates were failing to fight against the army because they were losing their strength. So in the end, King Puranjana died, and while he was at the time of death, he was thinking about his wife. Who will look after my wife? Who will look after my sons? So because he was thinking about his wife, what happened? He got a body, which is the next chapter. Puranjana becomes a woman in his next life, in chapter 28. So he got a body of woman. So even though it is mentioned, even though he had all this big family, but nobody was able to save him. And there is a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam which says, Deha Patra Kalatradeshu Atma Sainesha Satswapi Tesam Pramato Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. So people who are devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. They are too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So, one who is dependent on the fallible soldiers, they are sure to perish. So he got a body of a woman in his next life, and he was born from the king of Vidarbha. So his name was Vaidarbhi. And she married Malayadhvaja. And now Malayadhvaja means, Malaya is a hill. And this time, because he was born and married to a king who was like Malaya, who was fixed in his Krishna consciousness, he was a devotee king. So he purified himself or herself as Vaidarbhi. And he begot one daughter who was very beautifully eyed, blackish eyed. And in the past time it is mentioned, this allegory means the daughter is one whose eyes are fixed on Krishna, undeviating. And he had seven sons, and these seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service. What are the seven processes anyone knows? What are the nine processes anyone knows of devotional service? Yeah. So it is mentioned Shravana Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arshanam, Vandanam. So these seven processes were given to the seven sons represent these seven processes. So one would wonder, why not the last two? What are the last two? Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam. So these two processes were not given. Dasyam was given, but Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam was not given. So in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that there are two kinds of bhakti. One is Vaidhi Marg and one is Raga Marg. In Sadhana Bhakti, there is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So, the seven for a neophyte devotee, one should follow the first seven processes. Sakhyam and Atmanividnam will come later on when one advances. Because otherwise, one can fall down. If one thinks in terms of Sakhyam, I am a friend of the Lord, I can just go and visit Him anytime, I can just enter the altar anytime, right? That's not going to work, because in my neophyte stage, I can do that, but it is an offense. So when one is qualified, one can do that, but that is a Raga Marg. So Prabhupada, so only the seven sons are mentioned here. It's interesting, even in at that time, Srila Rupa Goswami has made all these scriptures available to us, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In that, he's carefully brought out all these points about how sadhana bhakti is, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti, and what are the processes. So even in this, it is mentioned seven processes were given, seven sons to this daughter. And then finally, they both, Malayadvaja and Vaidharbi, they both perform devotional service, and at one stage Malayadvaja, which will come, so until today, this is what the pastime is going on, and in future it will come, like how Malayadvaja performs austerities, goes to the forest, renounces the kingdom, goes to the forest, and he performs a lot of austerities. And Vaidharbi, being a chaste wife, she follows her husband. And she, and at one stage when Malayadvaja goes back home, back to Godhead, Vaidharbi gets the association of a Brahmana. And it is mentioned that Vaidharbi is the same soul and Brahmana is the, anyone remembers who was the constant companion? Avignata. Who was Avignata? Super soul, Paramatma. So the same Avignata came as a Brahmana. And then tells Vaidharbi how she can perfect her life as well by performing devotional service, bhakti. And eventually they both go home back to God. So it's a nice whole pastime which describes the journey of a soul in different bodies. And we see this in this section. So I've tried to quickly summarize this pastime. But quickly we'll see the six lessons from this purport that we can get, or from this pastime actually. So the first thing, that first lesson we learn from this pastime is, mind has to be controlled in whatever situation you are. Because mind has the ability to change anything which is spiritual into material. It is beautiful. The mind is actually very intelligent. So mind has the ability, anything spiritual, it can change. Especially we can know, when we were a new devotee, when we performed devotional service, when we are new, we used to enjoy devotional service. But as we become older, things become what? Mechanical. When we are new, we are chanting with so much rapid attention, but then every day you have to chant, every morning you are chanting, gradually it becomes like your hands are moving but your lips have stopped moving. Or even lips are moving, but your ears have stopped hearing. So it becomes mechanical. It is mentioned when a new devotee comes, he is very enthusiastic. He goes to each and every program. But then we become selective. Who is giving a class? Whether I should attend or we should not attend. So as we become old, we become a little bit selective. Our mind makes it, any spiritual thing, it makes it material. The khichdi, I remember the first time I came to temple, it was 7 a.m. in the morning. I heard class, Bhagavatam class, and then I went upstairs for prasadam. This was like in 99. This was the first time when I had the khichdi here upstairs. When I had this breakfast, it was like a feast. I had never in my life before had a breakfast like this. You have got khichdi, you have got salad, you have got puri, sabji, and those days, like, it was as much puris, as much, because there were very few devotees. And of course, it was still more than what Prabhuji's have seen. But still, there were only few devotees. So they were asking how many puris you want. So puri, sabjis, pakodas, rasgulla, rasmalai. So it was like a, it was not a breakfast, right? So I used to enjoy it. The first time I came and had this breakfast, I thought this is life here. So, but then gradually what happens? Now you become, should I go or should I not go? So the taste when a, which a new devotee feels, it does not, it's not the same when you, even Rajbhog now, if somebody offers, I say no, it's okay, right? So the mind has the ability to change everything spiritual into material. So one has to be very careful. Mind has always to be controlled, has to be checked. So second lesson we learn, always be under the association of devotees. And we know Bhagavatam gives this pastime again and again. Bharat Maharaj was, had reached the perfection, stage of perfection. He had reached bhava platform, but he fell down. Why? Because he was not in the association of devotees. And he became attracted to a deer. So in his next life, what did he do? As a deer, he was always in the vicinity of the ashram of the sages. So this is another thing. If Puranjana was associated with devotees, then they would have checked him. But this Puranjana was roaming around just by his own mind and senses. So he fell down. He had to die. And in his next life, in the life as a Vaidarbhi, what happened? He got the association of Malayadvaja, who was a devotee. And then she perfected her life. So one has to be always under the association of devotee. Once a devotee asks Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how can we overcome Maya? How can we become free from Maya? And Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice example. He said, this Maya is like an ocean. And you are in the boat. So ISKCON is like a boat. So you always be on the boat. Whatever comes, the ocean might toss the boat up and down. So this Maya might toss you up and down, but as long as you are in the association of devotees in ISKCON, you will be protected. So this is one thing one we have to remember. We have always to be under the association of, in the association of devotees. The third lesson we learn from this is, always be focused in your sadhana. Don't be distracted. So Puranjana became distracted by the beautiful woman, the material intelligence, and then it made him fall down. One has to always be introspective. How is my sadhana going? We have to be always focused, because many a times we lose the focus, we lose, why are we doing this thing? What is the motive behind doing this thing? So we have to always, you know, when a lion is going, walking, we saw some lions last retreat in Gujarat. But when a lion is walking, he will walk for a few steps and he will turn around and look back. And then again, he will walk and halt at some point and again turn around and look back. So he does not just keep walking blindly. Whereas S, when he's walking, he'll just keep walking straight without looking anywhere. So what is the point here? So we have to be like a lion. We have to keep doing our sadhana like a lion. We have to be fixed in our sadhana like a lion. And then at some point we have to stop, halt, and see whether I have progressed in my sadhana or not. So one has to be very focused. This is one thing. Because otherwise the time will keep flying. So one has to be focused. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions Taranga Rangini. So this verse he mentions that bhakti will offer us many gifts, facilities, followers, recognition as a senior devotee. It's interesting, when Atul Krishna Prabhu was here, he said in ISKCON it is very easy to become advanced devotee. You just have to stick around for a few years and you are called advanced devotee. Everyone will start worshipping you. So, this is one of the byproducts. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this is Ranga Tarangani, which is, it's the byproducts of bhakti. Automatically you will get all the facilities, you will get all the fame, name, gifts, followers, but one has to be very vigilant, one has to be careful, this does not belong to me. This is by the blessings of Guru and Krishna and the devotees. So if one is always vigilant, one is always careful about this, he will be able to progress. So one has to be focused and avoid distractions. The fourth point, a fourth lesson we learn is, one should always have positive fear. Always be fearful that I may not fall down in my bhakti. It is very important to have positive fear. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned once that he has only one complaint where his disciples are not fearful of Maya enough. So one has to be always fearful. Whatever you are doing, practice we are doing, we have to be fearful that I may not fall down. Once Srila Prabhupada went to the nude beaches and he preached to the people there. And we have one spiritual master who is from that preaching. So at those days, the disciples told Srila Prabhupada, can we also go to preach in the pubs and bars and all those nightclubs? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can go, but you have to come back. So one has to know what his limitations are. So one has to know where he stands. Unless he is fixed in his sadhana, unless he is fixed in his devotional practice, one should not cross the border. So this is, one has to be fearful. It's interesting, the example is given of a kabaddi match. Anyone knows the sport of kabaddi? Yeah? Kabaddi. Kabaddi is now one of the sport which is mainly played in India, but now it's also entered into Olympics. In that, there are two teams. The team one has to, one player from first team has to enter into the section of the other team and then touch the line and come back and touch as many people as he can and come back. And he has to constantly speak kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. Yeah. Yeah, so he has to constantly, without losing his breath, he has to constantly speak that. He has to enter the other team, touch as many people, touch the line and come back. There is a line in the middle. So he has to touch that and get into the other section, touch as many people he touches, those people are out. And from the other team, the person will come to this team now. So in this sport, the most important thing is to hold your breath, speak as much kabaddi you can and go and touch the line and come back and touch as many people, right? So one in that sport, one has to know what his limit is of holding the breath. He cannot just go and enter into the team and try to touch each and everyone, because what will happen? He will lose his breath and he will be out. So similarly, in our spiritual life, we have to know what our capacity is. If we over-endeavor in spiritual life, we will lose our breath, we will be out, we'll lose our focus. So again, one has to have positive fear, it is mentioned. Fifth point, second last point, right? Fifth point is, our strength becomes our weakness. We have to know our strength. And if we don't, so that was the fifth point, sorry, the kabaddi team. And also, we have to know that in cricket, like the good batsman has got some shots which he always plays. So he plays one shot, and the opposite team captain knows that this player has come, he puts all the fielders on the left side or the right side, right? So he arranges the field. So when he plays the same shot, we have noticed many times, when a person hits sixer, like a person hits sixer couple of times, and the third ball he tries to hit sixer, he is caught out. Why? Because the players are arranged, because every time every ball will not go outside the boundary. One of the ball will be short of boundary, and at that time the player is out. So his strength becomes his weakness. So one has to understand that what strengths we have, and we have to be carefully practicing spiritual life based on our strengths and not over endeavor. And the last point, which is repentance and to be determined. So, just the strength, on the point of strength becomes weakness. So Puranjana was strong when he met intelligence. But the same strength of enjoying became his weakness. Because he did not utilize this intelligence in something spiritual. He tried to enjoy his own senses. So he became weak. And the last point is repentance and be determined. So again we know Bharat Maharaj's pastime. When he became a deer and then Jad Bharata. What did he do as a Jad Bharata? He was born in the family of a Brahmana and his father tried to teach him all the Vedic knowledge. But he said, no, I don't want to become a scholarly Brahmana. Even though it was spiritual, scriptural knowledge, but he refused to accept. He just accepted to become a, remain like a madman. And he was not taking, even though he knew all the sastras. So still he did not pose himself as a qualified Brahmana, but he pose himself as a madman. So one has to be determined in and remain as a, one has to learn from his past mistakes. So, and the same with Ajamil. Ajamil, at the time of death, what happened? He heard the conversation between the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. And after that point, he immediately changed. He stopped all the activities he was doing. He went to Varanasi and perfected his life. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that we don't have to follow the first life of Ajamil. That I'll enjoy my whole life and at the time of death I'll say Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. We have to follow the second part of our life. Second part of Ajamil's life. Where he perfected, he stopped everything and from now on he perfected his life and performed devotional service. Because we don't know when our last moment will be, in what condition, in what state it will be. So these are the 6 points which I collected from this pastime, and it shows even Puranjana, after he went through death and in the next body she followed her husband as Vaidarbhi. She did not deviate from that path. So one has to, the lesson that we learn, the main lesson that we learn from this whole section is detachment, vairagya, and not fall, as is mentioned in this purport, one should not fall in the clutches of sex enjoyment. So I'll stop here if anyone has got any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhuji. Material. Yeah.
Is it possible that material interest also convert material activity into spiritual?
Prabhupada makes this point in that section, said if a material enjoyment comes in contact with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, so then it purifies itself. Because if one associates with Sadhu, one comes, read the scriptures and one follows the instructions of the Guru, then that material intelligence helps one to get out of, the same intelligence helps one to get out of this material world. Actually, there was a nice pastime, there was a devotee called, once Srila Prabhupada initiated one of his disciples and gave her the name Mahamaya, Devi Dasi. And everyone started like staring at Prabhupada, Mahamaya? Because in those days like Maya is something we have to be scared of. It's not what we want. And Prabhupada named this person as Mahamaya. And Prabhupada saw everyone's face. Because every time somebody gives a name, like we say Haribol. But here, no, everyone was looking. Mahamaya, is there a curse or something? So then Prabhupada said, no, Mahamaya is not always bad. Maya is not always bad. It's how we perceive it. Because it's the energy of the Lord. So if even you, even if we practice, even if we are in Maya and practice devotional service, that Maya helps us in getting out of this material world. And so it's not like Maya means it's bad. And again, in the book written by His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj called Maya, He gives a beautiful narration how Maya is the same energy which is when one perceives in the material consciousness, it becomes Mahamaya, and if one is in the spiritual consciousness, it is Yogamaya. It's the same, it's like two sides of the same coin. So it's the same Maya, but how one perceives it, it will act as Mahamaya or Yogamaya. Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry.
If one is a woman and wears this purple, how should she digest that?
Just change the gender of all the characters. Because in today's world, we are all born as Sudras. And if you look at the way everything is going, today gender equality is very prominent. It's interesting. In the company which I am working for, they have got like everything should be balanced. 50% should be male, 50% should be female. So these days when the interview happens, they have to have, the HR has to show that they have got applications from 5 male and 5 female are selected. And if that department does not have enough female, then female gets a preference. So you can understand the way the whole thing is going. It's not now basically on the qualification of a person, but since we have got 10 male working in our, so we have to hire 10 female, or we have to sack 5 male and get 5 females. So the way everything is working, Kali Yuga, male and female, there is no difference in one way. So as we see here, Puranjana was a male, but in next body she was a female. So again, it's the same soul going into two different bodies. So those who are males today, tomorrow they will be female because of their attachment to female. So yeah, Srila Prabhupada, especially these pastimes are mentioned from one point of, they could mention as a female entering into different bodies, but then the male would say, why would you call the females or female? So there was just a generic allegory given by Narad Muni. Because in Vedic times, females were always protected. It's not because they were weak, but because they were respected. So the female was, in her childhood, was protected under the father, in her youth by her husband, and then by her son. But there were different roles they used to play. Even in Australia, I see some of the old people who are working in my company, they said, my wife never worked outside. So this was the culture even in the Western country. Women did not used to go out and work. There is a role. Similarly, the men used to go out and work and they were never sitting at home. But these days, men are sitting home and females are working. So it's a cross-cultural kind of, in today's generation, I see it as no difference between men and women, except for gender, but they are all doing, there's a cricket World Cup arranged for women these days, right? So this was never happening before, right? But it's all mixed. They are equally powerful, or sometimes they are more powerful. In a family, many families we see, female are more dominant than male. The male always goes and asks, should I do this, should I not do this? Which is not bad in one way, but then again, there is some kind of responsibility which they share, which is, in the Vedic times, it was more dominant. We see all the pastimes like Kardama Muni, and in that way, the female used to get liberation by serving the husband, and husband used to serve the guru. So there was a whole Varnashram system, and that is why it is mentioned at the last end of the purport. The Varnashram system is important. In each, whatever ashram you are in, it is meant to become detached, cultivate detachment, and eventually you go back home, back to God. Sorry if that's... Yes, Mother.
Like
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mother. You had a question? What did his wife represent?
Wife getting angry with Puranjana.
What does his wife getting angry with Puranjana represent? So, as I mentioned in that past time, when the intelligence is not controlled by the soul, when the intelligence is controlling the soul, what happens? And the intelligence is controlled by mind, and mind is controlled by the senses. This was the thing. So then, when intelligence is more powerful than the soul, becomes overcome, it controls the soul, then the soul falls down into the material cycle of birth and death. Samsara chakra. He falls into the samsara. So this is exactly what happens when wife became angry and Puranjana was trying to pacify her, serve her, and he became subservient to the wife, and then they enjoyed for thousands of years. Because in this, we see wife was more dominant. Intelligence was more dominant than Puranjana. So the intelligence was more dominant than soul. So they had begat like 1100 sons and daughters and all. Right? So they just kept on enjoying in the material life, and then they made their next body. So they were stuck into the material world. So God. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. As I mentioned, one has to be always vigilant of his sadhana. One has to be always alert. Because our mind is, at first when we start chanting, our mind will say, stop chanting, right? It will say, why are you wasting your 2 hours, 16-hour rounds initially. But when you are new, you are fixed in your sadhana, people, you are encouraged by the devotees, right? You see all these devotees, nice prasadam, nice lifestyle, right? So you are enthusiastic. So you somehow control your mind and start chanting. And then at one point mind gives up, because mind understands now. Like you cannot be converted that way. So what does mind do? Plays trick. Then mind says, you are such a nice devotee. So there are four things mentioned. Sham, Dham, Danda, Bheda. In Sastra it is mentioned. First the mind will try to pacify you, Sama. Like they will try to convince you in some way by speaking to you. You won't be. Then Dhamma. Dhamma means give you some remuneration. So these are the four ways mentioned in Sastra where one can win an army. First you speak by dialogues, Sama. Then Dhamma, you give something. Of some money or something, and if still the negotiation cannot happen, then danda. Danda means you give some punishment or you attack, right? Even if that does not happen, then bheda. Then you get someone in the army of the opposition to be on your side and then attack, kill the king. So these are the four ways it is mentioned you can conquer. So mind also uses these four tricks. So first, it will try to convince you. But you are fixed. Now I'll chant my rounds. I'm fixed in my sadhana. Then Dhamma. Dhamma means mind will give you, oh, how great devotee you are. You are waking up every morning. You are coming to Mangalarti every morning. You are such a fixed. Nobody is like you. Look at this junior who has just come. You should instruct him. So he will try to make you feel you have become a Madhyam Adhikari and now you have a right to discriminate. So now you will say, oh, he's senior, I'll respect him. These are all equal. It's okay. Equal, I'm one day more senior to them. And then these people are like just newbies. They don't know anything. So mind will trick that. But even if you pass that state, then danda, mind will hammer you. And then bheda. Somehow or other, mind will try to bring you to people who are not devotees. And you will feel, oh, these are better. One day a week I can just associate with them. Or I can go with them in a restaurant one day. It's okay. Not every day, but 6 days I'm associating with devotees. One day I can do this. And then slowly mind takes you away from devotional service. So when you are going through the journey of your spiritual life, all these things will come. And that is why it is mentioned, one has to be very careful of all the gifts. And because after a few years, you just, as Atul Krishna Prabhu said, you just have to be in the moment for 5 years and you will be senior. There will be some followers who are going to follow you or treat you as a senior. So that way mind tricks you into thinking, now you have become a senior. Oh, this, so many people are giving me so much of respect. They are giving me gifts. They are doing whatever I tell them to do. Now I am a senior. And that's the fall down actually of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned, as soon as a person thinks he is a devotee, is fallen. One should not think, I have become a devotee now. So that's how mind tricks us slowly, slowly and drags us down. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.